Okay. Morning, people. Today's daf is daf Nun in Becharos. We're back on the middle of the Mishnah, Mem Chet Amud Beis. Okay, let's get going. The Mishnah gave a whole bunch of scenarios in which mix-up confusion in the hospital. Man has two wives, his wives both give birth. It sounds like the least of his issues, but an important halacha consideration is now going to be what does he need to give to the Kohen? So the Mishnah, we started the Mishnah yesterday, and we got through the series of first cases of the Mishnah yesterday. Let's just quickly start from the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah. Shtei nashim shelo bichru v'yaldu shnei zecharim. So Mishnah starts off nice and simple. You have two wives, they both give birth, and this is now a bechor for both of these wives. So now you're on the hook for 10 salim. So notice, you're the salim l'kohen, so you give 10 salim to the Kohen. Meisachad me'am besoch shloshim yom. So, Rachman al-Slan, God forbid, one of the sons dies within the first 30 days. Now, if a child dies within the first 30 days, the assumption is always going to be that that child is a nafel. The child is not considered a viable child. Your obligation to redeem your firstborn son is only for a viable child and not for a nafel. So this child dies within 30 days. So that means then that even though you gave the Kohen money, so you can demand a refund.
So that's the only reason you wait 30 days?
The Torah says to wait 30 days, but what's behind the Torah is that 30 days in order to make sure that the animal's not a nafel. Right. I'm saying it's not limited to that, but yes. So here's the story. You can get a refund, but that's only if you gave it to one Kohen. Because now you gave that one Kohen 10 salim and one of your children died, and Rachman al-Slan, and so then therefore you can demand a refund. I mean, l'shnei kohanim, nasan, but what if you gave it to two separate kohanim? Meaning, again, yeah, the story starts with you have two wives, they both gave birth, firstborn, so you gave five to one Kohen and five to the other Kohen, and then Rachman al-Slan, one of them died, and you didn't specify to the Kohen which one is he receiving on behalf of, and yochel ha'atzmi adam, so he can't get a refund. Because each Kohen is going to say, look, you gave me for the other son, right? So neither of them he can't prove to either one of them that he, in fact, demands a refund specifically from this Kohen. Zachar nekeva, shtei zacharim nekeva, nosin chamish salam l'kohen. Okay, again, now what comes out of the room of his two wives, or two children, one's a boy and the other one's a girl. Or, shtei zacharim nekeva, two boys and a girl, and again, we just don't know. We don't know which came from which, and we don't know order. So you just deal with the permutations. Of the Shnei Zecharim and Nekeva, you have to assume that one, you have a firstborn there. Meaning there's no alternative. Either it's two twins and a girl, two twin boys and a girl, two twin boys for one and a girl for the other, or a boy and a girl for one and a boy for the other, or a girl and a boy for one and a boy for the other. Minimally, you have a five seller obligation that you must give to the Kohen. No sin chamish shalim l'kohen. Shtei nekevas v'zachar, shnei zacharim v'shtei nekevas, ain kan l'kohen klum. If either it was two girls and a boy that came out of that room, and again, you just don't know who delivered what, or it was two boys and two girls that came out of that room, and again, you don't know who delivered what, so the Kohen gets nothing because, again, there's that possibility that what came out was twins for each, girl, boy for each. That means that the Kohen gets nothing. Now, there are a whole host of other possibilities, but if the Kohen wants to extract money from you, he needs to definitively know that you, in fact, had a firstborn. No. Again, the mitzvah is primarily, we do more to enhance the mitzvah, The mitzvah is primarily a monetary obligation. Correct. Right. Achas. Right. And it is interesting though because we did say the criteria, but that's for nachla. That's not for kahuna. The criteria for nachla is yakir. You have to recognize. But that's for nachla. Achas bichur v'achas shel bichur v'yaldu shnei zecharim. Okay. More cases. Same story. In other words, the ideas behind this mishnah. It's a long mishnah. Basically, the same idea. One wife. This is her first one. And the other wife. It's not her first one. So, and two males come out, and again, you don't know which one belongs to which, but it doesn't matter. You know that your wife gave birth to a firstborn son. No sin chamish shalim l'kohen. Meisach mehem, again, Rachman l'tzlan, one of them dies. Besoch shloshim yom ha'av pater. Now, if one of them dies within the first 30 days, So the father now is going to be exempt because we don't know which one of them died. It's possible that it's the Bechor that died. Again, we don't know, but still, it's that possibility. Kohen now is going to try to extract money from you. Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. Mesa av v'habanim kayamim. So, what if the father dies and the children are now still alive? So, Rav Meir Omer, imnasnu ashalo chilku. Nasnu v'im la peturim. Rav Yehuda Omer, nischai v'nechasim. Machlokis, we saw this machlokis yesterday. We discussed this machlokis at length yesterday, whether or not there's a shibud, there's a lien against the estate. There was a long discussion we had yesterday, reference back to yesterday's daf, in terms of how we view the splitting of the estate, whether it's a Yerusha, whether it's a Chaluka. Okay, go back to yesterday's daf for that. Zachru nekev on the Kohen Klum. Now, if what it is a male and a female, so the Kohen gets nothing, because again, Amotzi mechaver alavraya, shtei nashim shal shnei anashim shelo bichru. Okay, now we're gonna switch gears a little bit. Now we're going to not deal with polygamy. We're going to deal now with monogamy. So kind of what we deal with these days. So, but it's two wives, each one belonging to a different husband. And neither of them gave birth first. V'yaldu beiz zecharim, and two boys were born. And again, you assume that there was a mix-up in the hospital. We don't know whose is whose, but it doesn't matter. Meaning, as a husband, right, I'm sure you're not going to be that excited to know that this may or may not be your baby. Okay. There are issues over there, but from just the simple halachic issue of do I need to give 5 salim to a Kohen, the answer is sure you do. Because you know your wife gave birth to a baby boy. You may not be raising it, but it doesn't matter. You have an obligation. So, Beis Zecharim Zenos in Chamish Laim L'Kohen, Beis Zenos in Chamish Laim L'Kohen. Now, again, Rachman Litzlan, one of the babies dies within the first 30 days. Im lekohen echad nasnu, yachzer lehem chamish shalayim. Now here, we're going to talk about a refund. Now, if the two of them, the two fathers, gave their money to one Kohen, so they can demand a refund. Now, the Gemara later on will ask, what? The Kohen, let's think about this. Think about this from the perspective of the Kohen. Kohen got paid. Kohen got paid his 10th salaim. And now each one of them is going to come to the Kohen. Can the Kohen say to each one of them, look, I'm really sorry for your loss, but you don't know if it's your loss? Meaning, remember, with the whole case starts with the mix-up of babies. So can the Kohen say to each father who comes to him, look, I'm really sorry, but you don't know if it's your baby that died. So, you know, with all respect and with condolences, but I'm not returning your money. I don't have... No, the case is they both had boys. They both had boys. It was just a switch up, but they both know they're obligated. They both paid the Kohen 5 salayim. And they both had bechors. They both paid the Kohen 5 salayim. And then one of the babies died. And now, all I'm doing is I'm foreshadowing the Gemara's question. The Gemara's going to ask this question. But if you think about it, the Mishnah says they get a 5 salah refund. As the Gemara will articulate later on, it doesn't make sense. Because the Kohen just simply goes to each one of the fathers who was approaching him and says, I want a refund. The Kohen says, look, again, I'm very sorry for your loss, but you don't know if it's your loss. You don't know whose baby is whose. So why should the Kohen have to refund the money? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. Okay. Now, if the two fathers gave their 5 salayim to 2 separate Kohanim, there for sure there's no refund, right? Because I gave 5 for my boy, I gave 5 for the other boy, but because there was a mix-up, because we don't know whose boy is whose, so then each Kohen, when approached, says, demanding a refund, the Kohen's going to say, I don't know, we don't know it's your baby that died. I'm not, I'm Otz Mechaver, I'll have a Raya. The money's now in my hand. Ownership is 9/10 of the law. It's more than that in Halacha. So you want to take money out of my hand, ala varaya. Only reinforces the question that we asked previously about the case of the one Kohen. Okay, stay tuned. Zachar unikeva. Now, here, case goes like this. Again, two husbands, two wives, right? The wives are married to 2 separate men. Wives went into a room. Each one of them had a child. One first birth for each one. One gave birth to a boy. The other one gave birth to a girl, and there was a mix-up in the room. So we don't know who belongs to whom. Okay, they came out of the room now, and okay, I guess I don't know how they're going to choose. All right, who's going to raise the boy? Who's going to raise the girl? Okay, again, those are obviously important issues, and I don't want to gloss over those important issues, but I will, because we're just going to deal with one aspect, and that is who has to pay 5 salaim. The answer is no. Well, not yet. The answer is the fathers don't, because neither father knows if he's in fact the father of the boy. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya. Okay, good. So the father doesn't pay. But now let's go to the boy, from the boy's perspective. He's a firstborn. He knows he's a firstborn. He just happens not to know who his father is. Okay. So again, we discussed this yesterday. It's one of the key issues. It's coming up later this morning as well. It's primarily the father's responsibility. But it rolls to the son. Right? The Gemara in Kiddushin says that if the father fails to do it, so then the obligation rolls over to the son. So here the father fails to do it. Now, from a technical standpoint, not because he was lazy, but simply because he doesn't know which one is his. Okay, so from a technical standpoint, now the father can't do it. But the son knows definitively he's the firstborn. So the Mishnah says, Zachor nekeva halvas peturin, v'haben chayav levdos es atzmo. But later in life, the son is going to be obligated to redeem himself. In the previous cases,
one of them dies within the 30 days.
But in the previous cases, all along we knew that the father was obligated. This case is unique. It's different than all previous cases because we don't know if the father is actually obligated. Again, now outcomes from the room: either 2 girls or a boy, or 2 girls and 2 boys. Again, simply because there is a permutation that there is no bechor, it's a possibility, but as long as there is that possibility, ain't kan lakom klum, klum's not going to get anything. I'm otzim echaver al avraya. Achas bechor v'achas lo bechor. Okay, more of the same. Okay, one wife already gave birth before, and for the other one, this is her first time. Shel shnei anashim, and again, with the case here, it's 2 husbands. V'yal du shnei zecharim, zeh shel bechor, ishto nosein chamishlaim lakoin, nosein chamishlaim lakoin. Now, even though there's a mix-up, and even though we don't know whose son is whom, but still, from the husband's perspective, his wife has not given birth yet. This is his wife's firstborn, even though he doesn't know if he's coming home from the hospital with his baby, but either way, either it's his baby or his baby's with the other family. Either way, he knows that his wife gave birth to her firstborn, therefore 5 salam need to go to the Kohen. Zachar unikeva ain't kan lekohen klum. And again, if what comes out is a boy and a girl, and there was a mix-up, so neither are going to give a 5 salaim to the Kohen. The Gemara now asked a question which I told you was going to happen as we were learning the Mishnah, and we're going back to the case. The case was prepayment. A prepayment by the fathers. Well, right, and we're contrasting 2 cases of the Mishnah. In the case where they prepaid 1 Kohen, and the case where they prepaid 2 Kohanim. Okay? In the case where they prepaid 1 Kohen, meaning each one had a Bechor, and they prepaid, and one of the sons died, and we don't know which one it was. Again, because there was a mix-up. So what did the Mishnah say? They're going to get a refund. If they prepay 2 Kohanim, so then there's not going to be any refund. Okay. Now, in the case of 2 Kohanim, why no refund? Because as you approach the Kohen, and you say to the Kohen, give me my money back, so the Kohen says to him, look, I'm holding the money right now, and you don't know definitively that was your son that died. So, no refund. Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. But the Gemara says, okay, but if both of them gave their money to 1 Kohen, isn't that the same conclusion? The Mishnah says they're going to get a refund. But can't the Kohen in that situation say, what do you mean I'm not giving you a refund? Right? We don't know which one of them died. Amotzi mechaver, olav araya. Amar Shmuel, top now of Memtes Amad Aleph, biva beharsha'a. So Shmuel says, you know what the case of the Mishnah is? Power of attorney. Okay? Where what the fathers are going to do is like this. Shnei Avos, look at the top Rashi on the page. Shnei Avos kasvu harsha echa lechavero. Each one of them is going to write a power of attorney one to the other. Uval bal harsha'a v'tov o mimanavshach. And now, along comes the father with power of attorney in tow. It's a proxy, basically. And with that piece of paper signed off by the other father, they now go to the one Kohen and they say to the one Kohen, look, okay, we're going to get a refund. Not a full refund, obviously, because there were two boys and only one of them died, but we're going to get a refund of 5 shekels. Why? Mimanavshach. I'm reading the top Rashi. Im shali meis, hichzir li eshali. Vim shal chaveri meis, hichzir li echalo. Sharei yesh li harsha'a. Look, I'm either coming by force of myself or by force of the other father. So if it was my son who died, so then I'm demanding a refund. And if it was my friend's son who died, but he signed over power of attorney, so now I'm representing him, so you pay me on behalf of him as well. Okay? And this is what's called bivaba harsha'a, to come with a power of attorney. Now you realize, you understand, you could not do that with two kohanim. Meaning, if 5 shekels were given to 2 separate kohanim, so then you can't write over a power of attorney because each kohen is now going to simply say, look, I'm holding money for only one child. So, and you don't know right now if the one who's, I'm holding the money of the one who died or the one who didn't die. So you can't extract money from me. But one Kohen for sure, because he's holding the money of both children, and one of them died. So for sure, 5 of those slime that he's holding on to is not his. The only issue is that the 2 fathers can't extract from him because each father has an independent claim. If we can unify that claim, so then they can properly extract the money from the Kohen, and this is done through harsha'ah, it's done through power of attorney. Okay?
But I think it's going to cost more than 5 shekels.
Right. You're looking at the legal fees.
Who would end up getting the money?
Oh, so they would split it. They would split it. No, it's a fair question, but you're right. Each one of them would not be receiving the full 5, obviously. They'd split it. Technical issues the Gemara deals with, and that is the following. Hamri Nahardai, but in the yeshiva of Nahardah, it was well documented and well reported. Lokas vina nadrachta metaltala. You cannot write power of attorney on movables. Meaning that this effective legal method of making a claim, making a joint claim, is only can be done by property and not by movables. Now the Gemara does not give an explanation why. The Gemara in Baba Kama explains in better detail. Rashi over here just simply writes, second Rashi on the page, Harsha metaltala the whole ve'enan be'en mechze kishikra. Okay, when it comes to metaltalim, when it comes to movables, meaning may or may not be there. So look, we're talking about money. You know, money, as we always say, money is money could be spent. So the only thing they have is just simply an obligation. The only thing the Kohen may have is simply an obligation. So now to sign off on a harsha'ah, on something that may not even be there, but just, you know, just an idea, a representation of an obligation. So it's not a lie, but Rashi's language is, it looks like a lie, right? The mechze keshekra, right? It looks like an untruth, and so therefore Naradai says you cannot write a harsha'ah on metaltlin. So the Gemara says, "Hanimila hecha de kafre." That the Gemara says, "You're right," but even that statement of Naharda, the psak of Naharda, that you can't write harsha on movables, that's only if there's a denial of the claim. Cohen's not denying anything, meaning the Cohen understands. Yes, you gave me 10 shekels. Yes, one of the children died. Correct. I'm not really entitled to all 10. It's just that neither of you can extract the money from me because neither one of you know for sure that it's your son who died. So in this scenario where there's no denial, the Cohen's not denying the facts, it's just an issue of they don't have the legal right to claim it, so if they put their forces together and they write a harsha one to another, so then they could do that. Even Nahardah in this case would agree that's okay. The only time Nahardah would block the writing of a harsha is only in a situation where there's a denial of the claim. Okay. Zachar nekeva ein kan lekoin klum. Tana Rav Huna, shnei zacharim unekeva, ein kan lekoin klum. Okay, what Rav Huna would like to do is he would like to add to the Mishnah. He's not really adding to the Mishnah. It sounds he's quoting a Braisa. Okay, and the Braisa over here adds a clause that we didn't discuss in the Mishnah. Now, after having gone through the entire Mishnah, you got to say to yourself, like, what did we miss? Meaning that was a long Mishnah with a lot of cases. So what case did we miss? Believe it or not, we missed a case. And the case would be where it was two wives and two husbands. Neither of them gave birth. And what came out of the room was two boys and a girl. And again, just simply no knowledge. Now, two boys and a girl, and nobody has to pay. Huh? How does that make sense? Think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because remember now, we're not dealing with the case where it's one husband, we're dealing with a case where it's two husbands. So if there are two husbands, now each one can turn to the Kohen and say, look, let me give you the scenario, let me paint you the scene, even though we don't know what happened. But here's a possible explanation. The other father gave birth to twin boys, and my wife gave birth to the girl. Okay? Again, we all don't know what happened, but that's a possibility.
The girl came out first and the boy came out.
No. There were two wives there.
Right, no, but if you was a twin boy and girl.
Twin boys for the other wife.
Yeah.
And my wife gave birth to the girl. Again, that's as a possibility, that's what happened. So now if that's true, so then I don't owe you anything. And now you want to tell me though, well yeah, but there are multiple other possibilities. So you say to the Kohen, good, you're right, but I'm motzi mechaver ol avaraya. You want to get money out of my hand. You have to know definitively that I owe you the money, and you don't. So, v'tana didan. So now all the Gemara is bothered by, it's fine. Meaning, it makes sense. The case of Rav Huna makes sense. The Gemara just is a little perplexed. How come our Mishnah didn't include that case? And our Mishnah went over almost every scenario. What was wrong with that case? But the Gemara explains like this. Very simple, because, and we say this so many times, the Mishnah is interested in symmetry. Meaning the Mishnah gave a whole host of cases regarding one husband, and then they gave a case regarding two husbands. But if you go over the Mishnah and you look at the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah is symmetrical. Meaning all the cases that we have by one husband, the Mishnah then translates over to two husbands. This particular case only works with two husbands. Meaning, imagine if it's one husband and there were two wives, and what comes out of the room are two boys and a girl, so then he has to pay, because it has to be that there was a bechor in that litter. I didn't mean it that way, but you understand. Right? There has to be. So this case doesn't translate to one husband with two wives. So it won't fit the symmetry of the Mishnah, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't write it. Okay, even though it would work, it's true. What Rav Huna is saying is correct. It just doesn't symmetrically fit into the Mishnah. And again, the Mishnah was committed to memory back in the good old days, as it should be. We just don't. But so it can't. It just doesn't fit into the Mishnah. The Mishnah. We start now. The next Mishnah. Meisa ben b'soch shoshima afapishanaslan koin yachzer. Okay. There is no obligation of Pidyon HaBen within the first 30 days. As I explained, the basic reason behind that, first of all, the Torah says so, but the reason behind it is that within the first 30 days, the death of the child gives it the status of a nafel, which means that it was not a viable child, and therefore there is no obligation to redeem. Redeem is only redemption of a child. Now, so if you prepay, if you give the money to the Kohen before 30 days, the Gemara will note that's unusual. It's not normal for a person to prepay the Kohen, but, you know, the people who have a very, very strong, organized personality, and this particular person wants to make sure that he has paid the Kohen, so he prepays the Kohen. So, but Rachman Lasson, his child dies, so he gets a refund. L'achar l'amiyom afapi shalona son yitain. Now, after 30 days, even if he has not given, he has to give. Meis b'yom shloshim, meaning, even if his son dies after day 30, he has to give, because that is a chov, it's an obligation. And even, God forbid, his son died, but he still had that obligation to redeem his son. And even though the unfortunate situation is that his son died, but that doesn't remove the obligation, there was an obligation, there remains an obligation. Meis b'yom shloshim. What if he dies on day 30? Meaning, you know how this always works. We're clear about anything before day 30. We're clear about anything after day 30. But what about Yom Shloshim, day 30 itself, ki Yom Shlofanav? So, The Tanakhama of our Mishnah is of the opinion, we treat that like within the first 30 days. Day 30, it's not yet a viable child, and if it dies, Rachman Latzlan, on day 30, so it is considered a nafel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, im nasan lo yitol, v'im lo nasan lo yitain. And Rabbi Akiva takes a very middle position, which is that if you have already paid the Kohen on day 30, so you don't get a refund. But if you didn't pay the Kohen yet and the child dies on day 30, you don't have to pay. So Rabbi Akiva takes a very, very middle position. We'll explain Rabbi Akiva in just a moment. So we start with an understanding of the Tanakhama. The Pasuk in Korach says, Uftiyav mi ben chodesh tifteh. The pasuk in Parshas Korach says that you have to redeem your son from ben chodesh, from when he turns a month old. In Parshas Bamidbar, Perigimel, when we talk about the counting of all the bechor pekod kol bechor zachar mi ben chodesh vamala, right, so from day 30 and above. Now it's interesting. I could have read the pasuk that day 30 is counted as above. But the Gemara's assumption and understanding is that no, that only anyone who's above day 30 is counted. So mahasam vimala avhachanami vimala. Just like the pekuda, the counting is done only above day 30, therefore the pigeon is only done above day 30. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Kiva Masafkale. Rabbi Kiva doesn't know. He's unsure. Why? Why is Rabbi Akiva uncertain? The Gemara explains. Midditzrich lemichta vimala. Because we have another place in the Torah where there is a question in terms of how we count day 30, and that's by Erechin. At the end of Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah gives us a mitzvah of Erechin. Soon enough, we'll be learning the Masechta Erechin. Is it next? Yeah? Erechin's next. Makes sense because it's nine prakim. You know how it works. The Masechtas with the big Parakim are the ones that are in the beginning of Seder Kachim. So, okay, this is nine. Erechin is nine. Okay, so Erechin. Huh?
Which one's the last one?
Tamid Midos, one of those. Okay. So, Havlu Shneksum and Baim Ke'echad. So, in Erechin, the Torah says that if the child is from 30 days old to 5 years of age, so then his erech, his value is going to be, and the Torah gives us a number. And we don't know, we know, but when the Torah says day 30, it means including day 30, above day 30, and there, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us above day 30. Right? And it's interesting, Rabbi Kiva says, I wonder, how come the Torah didn't learn it out from Pidgin Aben? And how come we don't just establish a simple binyanav? And Rabbi Kiva says, that's my confusion. Yeah, it's such a good question. I really don't understand. Meaning, if by pidgin aben we have what is a very straightforward binyanav, so then for every area halacha, every time we wonder, day 30, is it above or is that below? So why don't we just have a simple binyanav? It's shnei ksuvim, just 1 second, shnei ksuvim b'ayim kechav, v'chol shnei ksuvim b'ayim kechav, em alamdim. So the Torah now goes out of its way two places, by the Bekudim and by Erechin, right, beginning of Bamidbar, end of Ayikra, to tell us that day 30 is not considered above day 30. And so therefore, once the Torah goes two places, that's no longer a precedent, it's no longer binyanav. On the other hand, you could also make the following argument. You're right. Ein malamdin. But at least for those two halachas, let's conclude. Meaning one halacha was by Erechin. Fine. We're going to conclude that day 30 is not, he's not in the next phase of Erech. But by Pidgin Aben, at least let's say that the Bechor was counted from day 30, and that means above day 30. So at least for Pidgin Aben, for that halacha, let day 30 be considered premature. Meaning he has to be above day 30. Mishum hachim esafkin alei. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, I don't know, meaning it is a binyanav, it isn't a binyanav, even if it isn't a binyanav, can we at least conclude that for Pekudim it should be above day 30? So Rabbi Kiva says, I don't know. And since his response is, I don't know, Amotze Mechaver, Olav Araya. So now the only thing left to do is just simply say, where's the money? Right? If the father's holding the money, he gets to keep the money. If the Cohen's holding the money, he gets to keep the money. Danny. Right, mixes of Yom Kikulo. It is limited, meaning we talk about that vis-a-vis Avelus. We talked about that vis-a-vis the Shivan Akiyam of Azav, but it's
part of the day, we don't know it's still.
Correct. It has limited application, but you are right. Speaking about Avelus, that's the Gemara's next point. Amar Ravashi, how come Odom Linyan Avelus Yom Shloshim Ki Yom Shlofanav Amar Shmo Alach Kedivre HaMichael Be'Aval? Or it's right, not the Amar Shmuel, but the Amar Shmuel. Right, the two points go hand in hand. Child dies, again, Rachman son, God forbid, a child dies. So, do you sit Shiva for the child who dies? So, the halacha is it has to have been a viable child, meaning for a miscarriage, for a stillbirth, for anything that was not viable, even if it came to full term, and even if it was 15, 20, 30 days, still it's considered a nafal, and so therefore, at that point in time, it is not considered a viable child, and therefore there's no avelus. There's no sitting of Shiva. And here, even though vis-a-vis the halachas of Pidgin Aben, we weren't 100% sure about day 30, how to count day 30. Is that considered now not a nafal? Is that still considered a nafal? So we're unsure, and Rabbi Kiva was unsure. But even though all that's true, when it comes to avelus is a mitzvah de Rabbanan, and we have a general rule of holech gedivre hamekel be'avelus, that when we have a question by avelus, and since it's a mitzvah derabanan, right, I dare say it's only a mitzvah derabanan, but I'm speaking now halachically. Since it's only a mitzvah derabanan, so it affords us a chance to be mekel, to be lenient, when there's any question. This isn't always true, but, right, and it's been a while since I went through hilchos avelus, but as a general rule, it's true, and the Gemara gives an application right over here. Meaning, we're not 100% sure. The child makes it to day 30, and now dies on day 30. Was that child a nafal or not a nafal? So based on our Mishnah, we're not sure, but vis-a-vis avelos, we're going to say we're going to be meko, which means that the father and the mother do not have to sit shiva.
I'm thinking of Ben. When is the Ben?
Yeah, so it's a lengthy discussion, because our Mishnah does not give a very clear criteria, that even though the Mishnah says 30 days, but that's what? That's 30 days meaning 30 days a month, 30 days meaning 30 full days. Big machlokas amongst the Achronim. We tend to wait till day 31. Some opinions are, all right, I looked this up, so I forgot who. Some opinions are that when it says Chodesh, it means an actual lunar month. Lunar month is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. Right? Some say that's it. From the moment that he's born. Okay. Makes it always a calculation to figure out. Okay. Mesa av betok shoshim b'cheska shalo nifta. Ashi avirai shenifta. Okay, God forbid, Rachman al-Aslan, all these cases are terrible cases, but dad dies within the first 30 days. The assumption, the default position is dad did not pay the five salim. Right? In other words, even though in the previous Mishnah we talked about dad prepaying, but it's not normal. It's unusual. And unless we know otherwise, we're going to assume that dad did not prepay. If you have proof that dad paid, that's fine, but otherwise you assume dad did not pay. But what if dad dies after 30 days? You assume dad paid. Now listen carefully to this. This is an interesting Rashi, right? It's really two Rashis to look at over here. Let me just introduce Rashi with the following. In other words, you understand what the idea of chazaka is? Chazaka is status quo, or fair assumptions that you can make, right? I'll give you an example. Right, the Gemara in the beginning of Chulin, a guy shechs an animal and then he runs away. Was he a shochet? Did he know what he was doing?
Yeah.
So we have a general assumption that most people who are doing shechita know what they're doing, and so therefore you can go to that animal, even though you don't know the first thing about that guy who shechted the animal. You can go to the animal and you can eat the animal. Okay, that's a, either Gemara over there calls that a rove, but in other words, in our, for our lexicon, we'll call that a chazaka. Meaning that's a safe assumption. It's a safe bet. Most people do it, therefore it's a safe assumption to make. Here, interesting, the Gemara says that you have a firstborn, and the father dies after day 30, you know what? Chazaka. There's a safe assumption that you can make that the dad paid his obligation. Okay. I'm sure everyone here, I'm in a room full of bill payers, and people pay their bills, and for the most part, people pay their bills on time. But like, as a chazaka, the person dies, did he pay his bill? Like,
30 days.
Right. It's interesting that the Gemara, the Mishnah actually, it's not even a Gemara, the Mishnah says, yeah, you know what, it's a chazaka. So I'll show you a Rashi, I'll show you two Rashis. This isn't a real bona fide chazaka. I mean, intuitively, I think we all understand, right? Are we going to say absolutely, oh, don't worry, the guy paid? You don't know he paid. Okay, good. I like to think that way also. It's a mitzvah he's going to do it. But like as a real, like bona fide, like chazaka, like we're going to hang his hat now on the fact that he paid. I'm guessing he paid, but to call that a chazaka? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, La'achar shloshim becheska shenifter, Dekoin have emotzi mechaver vehura kocho. Hey, see what Rashi does over there? Rashi says, look, if we're talking from the perspective of the father, he paid, he didn't pay, I'm not sure. But I will say this. Now let's turn our attention to the Kohen. Kohen's now coming after the family. Right? And he wants his money. So the family says, look, the chazaka is good enough. Meaning, I'm not sure if dad paid or didn't pay. But look, you're coming after now for money. You're trying to extract money from me. Hamotzeh mechavero alavaraya. The chazaka is strong enough where we could say to the Kohen, you know what, turn around. Your koach hagvia, your ability to demand the money has been diminished because there is that chance that dad already paid his obligation. Right, you know, right. It's a great question. I don't know. I also was. I'm wondering the same thing myself. Meaning, from day 30 and onward, it's like it's the same chazaka.
Same chazaka.
Right.
If he's the only Kohen in the entire town.
Right. It's a good question. Also, meaning there's nobody else to give it to. And then look at the next Rashi. I think I should read the Mishnah first before I read the next Rashi. Becheska shenifta shiomer lo shelo nifta. Unless he was notified, you know, I didn't redeem. Now, look at that next Rashi. Notify. What notification are we talking about? So here, Rashi says, Laben shetziva aviv v'shas misaso shelo nifta. Here, you don't need edim. It doesn't have to be that formal. Rashi just simply says that on his deathbed, the father says to his son, you know, there was a mitzvah pigeon aben, and you know I didn't redeem you.
I didn't pay you.
I understood. Uve Amira Sagya below Edus Gemura. Rashi says you don't really need Edus Gemura. The Hachazak de Mechaskin alay Becheska Shenifta Lavzi Hachazak Amal Yasa. Rashi over here really spells it out. This is not. We're not talking real Chazaka over here, says Rashi, because again, the question is, did he pay or did he not pay? We're going to say as the Chazaka that he actually paid. That's not how chazakas work. Chazakas don't tell us that money came out of his pocket and he paid. That's not how a chazaka works. This is not a real chazaka. Deruba d'inshi lo avdil mefrechova miyad. Right? Perfect. Meaning, it's exactly what I thought. People don't pay their not everybody pays their obligations on time. It happens to know, I don't want to embarrass anyone in particular, but I happen to know that Phil is, he's a yucky. He's unbelievable. Right, but you know, you get a bill, you know, you look at it, okay, you put it aside. Not everyone, it's normal. I mean, obviously, we're promoting the paying of bills, but it's normal to just simply not immediately react with, oh, I have to pay it. So we're not talking about a real chazaka over here. V'hachalo shach lamemar ad shiavi rai d'hachal yachal omer lo haben lekoin d'ama yavi abba. In other words, over here, it's just a simple communication between the son to the Kohen, you know, dad told me he didn't pay you. That's enough to indicate that there is an obligation. Okay, let's continue in the Mishnah. Okay, Mishnah deals with an interesting scenario. Father was a firstborn. Father was never redeemed. Okay, Dad told him, right? I never redeemed you. Okay, now he has an obligation to redeem himself. Okay, then he himself has a firstborn son. Who comes first? Who does it? Well, we'll get to the limited funds in just a moment. We'll get to limited funds in just a moment. Right now, just in terms of Kedima, let's just talk principally. Who comes first? His mitzvah of his own redemption, or the redemption of his firstborn son? Okay, machlokas. I mean, you can debate it, but I got news for you. The Mishnah beat us all to the punch. It's going to be a machlokas in the Mishnah. Who kodem livno? So the Tanakhama says, like Phil, he should come first. It's his mitzvah versus his child's mitzvah. My mitzvah comes before my child's mitzvah. Now, you can argue one of two ways, by the way. Phil, you're arguing that's because... Yeah, in other words, you're looking at it as just simply a sequence. Right. Meaning, your mitzvah was there before your son's mitzvah. You could also say it... You can also argue... It's not a question of sequence. It's just a question of my mitzvah should come before somebody else's mitzvah. Right. That's another way to argue it. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'no kodmo... Shemitzvah so alaviv umitzvahs beno alav. Rav Yehuda takes a different perspective, interesting perspective. Rav Yehuda says no, because your mitzvah's pidyon haben was not primarily yours. That was primarily your father's. You only become the default responsible party only because your father defaulted. But it's not principally your mitzvah. Ma she'en kein, your son's pidyon is principally your mitzvah. So Rav Yehuda says, if I'm asking which one should come first, I totally think your son's pidyon should come before yours because your son's is primarily yours and your own pidyon was not primarily your mitzvah. It's primarily your father's who defaulted and now left it for you. But even as you're redeeming yourself, that's not as demanding. It's not as, I don't want to say important, but I'll just use that terminology. It's not as important as your son's because your son's primarily on you. Itmar. Haporos b'no b'soch shol shem yom, Rav Amar b'no padu, Shmuel Amar ein b'no padu. Okay, we get on to a discussion of prepay. If you prepay within 30 days, so Rav says it works and Shmuel says it doesn't work. Now, before commenting, the Gemara immediately qualifies. Let's start off with a givens. Meaning, if you prepay within the first 30 days, did you fulfill the mitzvah now? No. Everyone agrees. Of course not. And if after the 30 days and the kohen's holding the money, everyone agrees you get a check. You fulfilled the mitzvah. Where is there a debate? Ki pligal achar shal shayom v'nis aklu hama'os. Okay. Here's where Rav and Shmuel are going to be debating. You gave the kohen the money before day 30 and the kohen spent it. Right? And a nice dinner for himself. Ate it. Beautiful. And then day 30 comes around and the kohen doesn't have the money. Now we have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar b'no padui midi dehave akidushe isha. Rav says it works. And Rav says, and I'm going to tell you why it works. Because if we do the same thing by kiddushin, I go over to a woman and I give her money and I say, hareat mekudeshet li. But I put in a delay, I put in the delay clause. I'd like the Kedushin not to be chal for another 30 days. For whatever reason. I'll even try to explain it to her. But for whatever reason, I put a delay in, it works. And even if she takes the money, and even if she spends the money, it's going to work. So the argument of Rav is, don't you, if it works by Kedushin, if I can prepay, and even though the chalos of the Kedushin won't take place for a month from now, and even if she doesn't have the money a month from now, we all agree the Kedushin is going to work. So how is that different than this case over here? I know.
Not because he couldn't marry her immediately. Well,
Perfect. Phil, right on the money. HaKedusha ha'asam la v'afagab, then it's ha'klamos, ha'bekedushin. So ha'cha, nami, loshna. So that's Rav's argument. And Shmuel's counter-argument? Shmuel ha'melecha, ha'asam b'yad l'kasha me'achshav, ha'cha em b'yad l'vdosa me'achshav. And Shmuel's counter-argument is also fantastic. Shmuel says to Rav, my friend, in the world of Kiddushin, I could put a delay into the Kiddushin. And I can have the chalos of the Kiddushin not take place for another 30 days from now. But you know what? It's biyado. If I wanted to, I could have had the chalos take place right now. That's an element of control. In halacha, control becomes so significant. If I could have it happen right now, I can have it happen 30 days from now. But in the case of Pidyon HaBen, you don't have that control. Within day 30, within the first 30 days of the child, your firstborn, you simply can't say, I'd like to redeem him now. It doesn't work now. So therefore, if I'm delaying the chalos till after day 30, and then he eats the money, consumes the money, so the pidyon doesn't work. Well, it's a great counter-argument by Shmuel against Rav, and the Gemara says, look, this is now what? This is afagav de kaimelon de chol hechad de pliga Rav Shmuel hechsek Rav b'isuri ukeshmuel bedine. Look, normally Rav and Shmuel halacha falls like Rav when it comes to isurim. Halacha falls like Shmuel when it comes to monetary law. Hacha hechsek kavasi de Shmuel, but over here the halacha is going to follow like Shmuel. Okay.
Is it a mekatosa?
I don't know about that.
Again, the coin before. Can you demand it back? She said, look, I thought it was going to work.
Let's keep it simple. Let's assume everyone understands what it would take. Isn't that interesting, Aaron? Yeah. That the Gemara over here, like without flinching, says, you know, normally by money we follow like Shmuel, but here, you know what, we'll follow like Shmuel, even though it's not money.
But it is money.
I know. It's interesting. Pidyon HaBen is Pidyon HaBen is more Isser V'Heter than it is money. Yeah. It is interesting. I'll tell you this. Where are you going to find the laws of Pidyon HaBen? Not in Choshen Mishpat. Yoridea. All right. It is interesting. Now, Hilchse Kavase Shmuel Tanan. Now, we're going to do this a couple times. We're going to try to bring our Mishnah to support Rav, Meis Pesach Lama Yom, Af Mishnah Nasan Lakon, Yachzilo, Chamesh Laim, Tam de Meis, Halam Meis, Beno Padui. Look, in the Mishnah, if the son didn't die, I mean, we're making an inference, but if the son didn't die, it doesn't seem from the Mishnah that the son is redeemed, like Rav. So, Hacham Amai Skin and Disno Lama, so the Gemara says, okay, but Cohen didn't eat the money was still there. That's why it works. Tashma Bechetzke Shlo Nifta, Ad Shiavi Raya, Shinifta, Hasam Nami Disno Lama, Speinaihu. Again, the case of the Mishnah is talking about where the money's there. Tani Tana Kama de Rav Yehuda, Apodis Beno Besoch Shal Shum Yom, Beno Padui, Amar Le Shmuel, Amar Ein Beno Padui, Ve'atamar Beno Padui, I don't understand. Shmuel says the son is not redeemed. Ve'afagab de Kama Lanka Rav Yisori, Kishmuel Bedina, Hacha Hilchaz HaKavas de Shmuel. Again, the Gemara reiterates, the Gemara emphasizes, the Gemara punctuates, the Halacha is like Shmuel. Good, let's move on, let's finish up to the Mishnah. Who lived those of no lived those? Who called him lived no? Tan Rabban. Who lived those of no lived those? Who come live? No, Rav Yehuda Omer Beno Kod Moshe Mitzvah Sal Aviv Mitzvah Beno Alav. Okay. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa totally reiterates what we saw in our Mishnah. Now, let's discuss this with a little more detail. Amar of Yirmiyah HaKol Modim Hecha Deleka Lecham Ishlaim Hu Kodim Liv No. Look, if all you have is five Salayim, now, you can ask a general question, which is that, you know, you're not allowed to spend all your assets on Mitzvah. Right? In other words, you're only supposed to spend a portion of your money on mitzvos, and you're not supposed to give up all your money for mitzvos. And it sounds like from our Gemara's discussion right now, you're going to just give your last five salayim in order to fulfill the mitzvah pidyon HaBen. Right? I saw some of the Achronim ask it. Okay. But just for the time being, ignore. I asked the question, but ignore it. Who kodem livno my time the mitzvah didei adev? If all you have is five salayim, your mitzvah comes before your child's mitzvah. And there's no discussion. Rav Yirmiyah says, done. Let's say you have five salaim on you, and let's say you had five salaim of property that you sold off. Rav Yehuda Savar Milva Ksuva B'Torah Ksuva B'Shtar. Now Rav Yehuda says, we discussed this just yesterday, that this obligation of Pidyon HaBen is a documented obligation. And therefore, it creates a lien. And since there's a lien, that property that you sold, that little five seller property that you sold, is mortgaged against your obligation. So, Dami V'Didei Azov V'Tarf M'Mishabdei. So, one coin now is going to come and take the land from the purchaser, and because that secured the obligation. Uvehani Chamish B'Nechorin Parik Leh Levrei. And then, the five son that you have on you, that is going to take for your son. We know for sure, explains Rashi. We know for sure, explains Rashi, that your obligation for sure preceded the sale of land. Because your obligation happened at your 30th day of birth. After your 30th day of birth, you probably sold your piece of property after that point in time. Okay. There are larger questions as well. Again, I'll just shoot out a question without giving you a proper answer. If there's a choice of collecting from, sold properties with a lien versus properties that you have on you. So what do creditors go after first? B'nei Chorin. You can't go after properties that you sold first. As long as you have money on you. Okay. Okay.
Because the father had an obligation.
I understand. The Rabbanan Savri, let me just finish this up. The Rabbanan Savri, Milvek Suva B'Torah, Lafkik Suva B'Shtar Damya, and the Chachamim disagree principally. This is not a documented obligation. It's not a Milvek Suva. It's not a Shtar.
Right.
Even though the Torah obligates you, but that's not considered a Shtar. Hilkach Mitzvah Didei Adif. So therefore, that property that you sold is not mortgaged against the obligation. The only five salim now are the five that you actually have on you. That goes for yourself. Okay. That's the Gemara's explanation and the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakhama. Okay. Tomorrow, get ready. A lot of money talk tomorrow, huh? Yeah, absolutely. 100%.